Good morning and thank you. In the next 20 minutes, let me start this. I promise I won't abuse of your time. 20 minutes of Microsoft is probably all you that you can bear. I want to show you the Microsoft you probably don't expect. So just give me a chance to show you what has happened as of late in Microsoft. And I'm going to start by letting others speak for me. Some of the most prominent guys in Microsoft, well, not all of them are very prominent, but and you'll see why I'm saying that. So, here we are.
Value, trust, and transparency for customers, and certainly you've done a lot of work in terms of interoperability, open standards, and working with the open source community. We might not be perfect today, but we are taking the commitment as a company.
The commitment to change.
Obviously, our culture has changed a lot over the years. Open source is not the enemy. It is actually a good partner in delivering value.
This is the guy who manages our Linux contributions.
Open source communities worldwide. Over the last 10 years, we have been actively engaging as Microsoft and listening and trying to really understand what these companies need and what they're looking for.
Oh, yeah. This is the non-relevant guy.
Open, what they talk and how that is not just a perception that's changing, but gets backed by fact.
In Brazil, we have developed a very good working relationship with the open source community. We have such a good relationship with the main PHP community that they even run their site on a Microsoft platform.
There's a lot of innovation that's happening in the open source world, and there's no reason that that innovation can't actually run on a Microsoft platform as well.
So we need to be able to support all those developers. It's not just a PR play, it's real business.
What I can definitely tell you is that I wouldn't be here if, you know, when I was sort of not with Microsoft, I didn't sort of notice that the world, the winds have changed, that something was changing, that the company was changing and become more open.
Standards have come to play a very important role in the growth of the entire information technology sector. We still compete with each other, we differentiate, but we differentiate increasingly around a common core of industry-wide standards.
Hundreds of thousands of hardware and software developers are building their business on Windows. And all of this is made possible by our support for standards and interoperability.
We've been working on interoperability for many, many years in the Office Division. We think it's so important to our customers. We hear the message loud and clearly. They want to make sure they understand how we work with other systems, and we try to do everything we possibly can.
Between i8 and i9, I think we've done a significantly better job listening to what developers want. And in some ways, that conversation is really what's gotten so much better. I think we do a much better job listening, and we do a much better job playing it back.
So on the Office side, there's a couple of great examples, I think, of some of the interoperability work that we've done. We've got our OpenXML file format. We saved a PDF. We saved the Open Document format. All of those are examples of formats that we know customers want to have in the product.
You see, that's what's interesting. We have, when we build products, we have customers in mind. We understand it has to be deployable, it has to be manageable, we think about compatibility. And we get the balance here at Microsoft. Cutting edge innovation technology, interoperability with standards, and the secure development lifecycle.
The cloud starts with openness at all layers of the stack. We believe firmly that we want all developers to come to Windows Azure.
And when you look about the next phase of the industry, moving to the cloud, we are even more committed as a company to really provide choice and transparency.
It's really important that we work not only across our premises and technology that we own and support, but also across into third-party fabrics and across the standards bodies to ensure that we actually can move data and move applications across multiple clouds.
So these are pretty bold statements coming from the top of the company. And we will navigate them a bit more in the remaining few minutes. So first of all, just a few words about myself. If you want to pronounce my name, is Gianluca Rabellino. And I do consider myself an open source guy. As it happens, for the past 20 years, all the food in my plate has come by virtue of open source, paying for it. It has been a sizable amount of food. So, you know, it's good to be an open source developer. I started with Linux 0.99, patch level 16, good times, contributed to a few open source projects, later became a member and then a vice president of the Apache Software Foundation, and I'm still doing that. And after running a system, an open source system integrator that was having business across Europe. I got this offer from Microsoft, and it was just an offer I couldn't refuse because they hired me as senior director for open source communities, and that means that I am the one who's tasked to listen to you guys from the open source community and understand how we can do even better, and probably tell you a little bit about the change, a change that surprised me in the first place when I first encountered. So let me guide you through where is Microsoft today. And I'm starting with Maps. This is Building 24. This is where I work. That's more or less my office. They put the Italian guy next to the soccer field. So probably there was a reason for that. The point is that the Microsoft campus in Redmond, anyone has been there? You should. You should. 70-plus building full of Microsoft people. It sounds disturbing. It's not. It's great. It's great. And the thing is that on the first day on the job, my manager told me, hey, your first job is to go out there and speak to all the people who have a stake in open source, want to know more about open source, who are already engaging with open source. And I started tracing those on a map. This is the map of the whole campus. And these are all the buildings I have been. That put quite a stress on my scooter. Yeah, it's Seattle. It doesn't rain that much. You can have a scooter. You're not supposed to bring your daughter like this, but that's my driveway, so I'm taking a bit of liberty, and it's a good excuse to show you my beautiful, beautiful daughter. On top of that, I travel the world, of course, and this means more open source sightings than Microsoft. So the Microsoft you don't expect is the one where, you know, at least you can find 50 people who know about open source and care about open source, and it's a lot more. When I had my interview, it was July 2010. I spent 3 days in Microsoft. Just so that you know, if you want to land a job there, I had 25 interviews. And you know, the surprising bit was, hey, I met 25 people who were knowledgeable about open source. And that's quite a finding. That's quite an important thing. So what does it mean? What does it accrue to? Last time I counted, and there is more, to 392 different engagements with different open source projects. It's all public, by the way. Don't believe a word of what I'm saying. This is open source. Go out there. Verify my claims. It's the ultimate glasshouse, right? So it's not like I'm making them up. And that amounts to the fact that the company is making bold statements like this one. We have changed. We have changed as a company. It's not that we opened a random open source office and that's it. You've seen it in the map. It's all across the board. And we have become more open. Now, what does that mean? We have to understand what open means in this brave new world we are living in. Because when I started 20 years ago, it was the age of general purpose computing devices. It was the age of disconnected computers. Well, now we are living in an age where our computers, the computer space is being shrunk. On the one side, we have the devices and all the problematic that come with the devices. And on the other side, we have the cloud and all the problematic that come with cloud. That means that we need to agree on what open means. There is a technical definition indeed when it comes to source code. And I'm not ever in my life going to abuse of the open source definition. So when I'm air quoting open source, I really mean it. I owe too much to open source to show any sort of lack of respect. But having said that, there are other sides of openness. There is the standard side. There is the protocol side. How do we interact with each other? There is an API side. There is a data side. Who owns my data? And there is an open source side to it. We need to engage in all of this in a much more holistic way. So how did we do that? Why are we claiming that we have become more open? Well, we classify it in these three pillars. We believe that we play well with others. We believe that we need to listen to our customers. It would be suicidal not to do so. I'll grab some water. And by the way, listening to our customer means listening to our developers as well. And of course, the cloud changed everything. We are all in the cloud. That means that we have to adapt. So what does it mean when it comes to standards? Let's examine that. It means that the support for standard in Microsoft is huge. We have 1,000 people whose daily job is to work in standard bodies. The good news and the change is that increasingly, all the standards bodies are becoming more open themselves. And you know, when you implement a vast amount of technology as we do, that means that you have to implement quite a few standards. So this is a non-inclusive list of all the stuff that is running on your machine and what it means to you. And again, everything has become more open. So you can see for yourself what Microsoft is doing. IE9, right? We've been there this morning. The others that Chris mentioned this morning are actually Microsoft, who is co-chairing the HTML5 working group. Paul Cutton has an office, two offices down mine, and he's the co-chair of the HTML working group. And the good news is that in the W3C, the lists are archived. Go out there, see what Microsoft is doing on HTML5. See how much we are betting on this technology that is truly world-changing. And when it comes to IE9, we took a very specific stance. We said, we love HTML5. But we need to give to our users and to our developers something that is solid, something they can trust, something that is not going to change or break over the years. Why we have been saying that? We screwed up before. IE6, right? You need to learn from your mistakes. And we don't want to repeat that story again. So we ended up with a distribution of IE9 that is stable and you can rely on. Does it have less features in terms of the upcoming web standards? By all means. But how are we addressing that? We are giving to developers a resource that is HTML5 Labs, where you can go and download the craziest extensions on the up-and-coming web standards and play with them today. But at the same time, we are telling you that IE9, whatever you build with IE9 today, is going to stand the test of time, and that's no small feat. You know, developers are central to us. We are not selling Windows because it's got Minesweeper in it. It's about those 4 million applications that are built on top of Windows. It's about getting an up-and-coming number of developers who are interested in our platform, and that, of course, includes open source, and it includes it to a point where we can say today that 350,000 open source projects run on Windows. 23 of the top 25 run on Linux, on Windows. And we want to make the developer's life easier to the point that we are engaging ourselves into porting those two projects. Chris this morning mentioned PhoneGap. We recently announced that we are supporting PhoneGap. So we are working with the PhoneGap community to bring support for Windows Phone 7. So we see the opportunity. We see it from a business point of view. We understand, yes, it's an open source opportunity. So what? It's fine. That's the way the world is working today. And then you get into, you know, also the funny statement that tells you that, oh, something must have changed. Right? Surprising. He really said that. He really said that. I double checked. He did. And so if you look at what we are doing, turns out that we are doing quite a bit of work on Linux. We are contributing a lot to the Linux kernel. We have a team of people whose daily job is to contribute to the Linux kernel. That may seem surprising, but hey, didn't we just see on the Reddit slide a few Windows logos? These guys want to run Windows loads on their hypervisor, and that's fine. And guess what? We want to run Linux loads on our hypervisor, and we are enabling that. How are we enabling that? By playing by the rules of the game. Linux is an open source project. It is out there in the community. We have open source developers who are contributing to the open source kernel. And that's absolutely fine by us. There is no surprise to us. But it comes to a surprise to many. And when you look at the breadth of our involvement in open source, it's not just, you know, I'm shooting 400 projects. It's about stuff that we are doing today. It's about contributions that we are making today. And that can be independently verified. Again, it's out there. I can spend the next few hours guiding through some of those things, guiding through how we support increasingly the open ecosystem. But again, I invite you to use this talk as a way to maybe get interested, reach out to me, and we can talk through those. But so, you know, I have a few lists here. Go to check what Microsoft Research is doing. It's amazing. And they are researchers. They love open source. And we love to enable them to do more and more open source. It's happening every day. My team, this is my team. I love being in a team that is about interoperability. I work in the interoperability strategy team. I don't work in an open source team. We do open source because we believe in interoperability. And to do that, we understand that we need to take our pick when it comes to, do we go the standards way? Do we go the protocol way? Do we go the API way? Do we go to open source? It's mostly a combination of 2, 3, 4. And we are doing that. It's a long list. If you go to interoperabilitybridges.com, you will see on the left-hand side that it's a website that I really need to revise because that list is becoming humongous and hard to manage. Of course, we have enablers like the fact that now you can, with a single click, install a plethora of open source applications on Windows Server, and soon on Azure as well. We have Codeplex, with an increasing number of open source projects, not just by us, not just done by us, done by the community as well. And we have a few sort of crown jewels, our Linux integration services, which are our contributions to the kernel, or maybe the framework that we are using to help people port application to Windows, CoApp, the Common Open Source Application Publishing Platform. The idea being that we want to give you tools to make it easy to have your application working on Windows. Check it out. It's very nice. Let's talk about our work in PHP, PHP Core. We are contributing to the PHP Core. We are contributing developers. We are contributing resources for testing. And of course, we want to make PHP a first-class citizen on Windows Azure. So there is a lot to say when it comes to the way we work with others. And the idea that we have to listen to customers, to developers, to the ecosystem, to the people who don't really want to engage with us, but still have an interesting point of view. And we want to listen to them, and we want to adapt. I have listed here an example. Here we're having what we call the interoperability executive customer council. These are 35 CIOs and CDOs for the most influential governments, governmental organizations, and large enterprises. And these guys come to Redmond and give us the hardest time ever in telling us, hey, I need you to work on this. I need you to work on that. And guess what? We react. We adapt. And we make it possible. And then the cloud. It may be counterintuitive to think of Microsoft as a cloud player, but when you think about it, we've been in the cloud for a while. Windows Live, Hotmail, Bing. You have no idea of the amount of resources that are required to run Windows Update alone. So we know how to run a cloud service. We have been doing it for quite a few years now. And so we came up with our cloud platform that, guess what, is open by design. It's every single service in Windows Azure is based on some sort of standards to expose the API. But not only that, you probably don't want to deal with REST calls all the time. You need something that is more high level. Well, guess what? We don't only enable, you not only enable PHP and Java to run on top of the platform, but we are also providing the APIs to do that. And unsurprisingly at this point, the APIs are open source. So we are working in that scenario. And at the same time, we realize that the cloud comes with some unique challenges to openness. And that it's blurry. It's very hard to draw lines. And at the end of the day, you don't really care about what is producing your XML feed, your JSON feed, whatever you consume. What matters is that you can rely on that. And so, you know, I arrived to the point to say that in the cloud, software matters a lot less. As people like to joke, what version of Amazon are you running? What version of Facebook are you running? You really don't know. So even versioning doesn't come into play. And at the end of the day, I think that there's a lot to say about the open source in the cloud, the source code of the cloud being the terms and conditions, being the service level agreements, being the contract that you're making with your cloud provider. But not only that, there is a need to define what open means, and we have been proactive. This is my boss. He was last year at OSCON keynoting on the elements of interoperability in a cloud platform and going public by saying that we believe that data should be portable. We believe that there should be open standards. We believe that it should be possible to migrate and deploy applications and workloads across the cloud. And we believe ultimately in developer choice. And developer choice, of course, includes the open source community as a whole. So again, we have changed. We have become more open. But then again, it's not these 20 minutes that may be able to have an impact on your perception. The great news is that everything is out there. So check it out. I'm very easy to find. I'm very open to hearing from you. I'm very interested in hearing from you. I hope to see you out there. And I hope to be able to work even more with the open source community for years to come. Thank you. And in the best Steve Jobs style, one more thing. Come to see us at our booth. You will see the ultimate interoperability gadget. That is something that I badly needed. So if for your next travels, you will be able to plug your computer without having a hitch. And you will get free Azure passes to try our platform out and see for yourself how open it is. Sorry, I forgot about that. Thank you.